Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is the KODM, King of DC Media, William Powell, internationally known, nationally respected, and locally appreciated. Welcome to another episode of Inside Acting. Let me introduce my co-host,
Nadia Williams.
And tonight we got a friend of mine coming on, voiceover guru extraordinaire James Lewis. Before we get into that, I know, Nadia, you had a week off last week. What were you up to?
I was rehearsing for the web series Click, which I'm co-starring with Dan Franco, who I know is going to be on the show coming soon, and Ken Arnold,
right,
who was on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, hopefully we'll get some episodes out soon. We did 3 episodes last Sunday, and I have to say it was probably the most fun I've ever had on a set.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've seen some of the Facebook pictures, and I saw somebody knock Ken out. Did you knock him out?
Dan and I both kind of had a hand in that. So everybody will have to wait and see how that played out.
Tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, Click takes place in a photography studio, and Ken plays the owner of the photography studio. His name is Ted, and with him co-owning the studio is his ex-brother-in-law, Jason. And one of the deals with having the studio was that he had an assistant that came with the lease, and I am the assistant. And I'm a pretty terrible assistant.
Wow. Well, that's Ken, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, that's not much of a stretch.
Well, we do have quite a crew of writers on the team. And, you know, when we were filming on Sunday, we had all the writers there. So, you know, we try out one joke and then we would try out another one. So I can't wait to see what the finished product is going to be, because there was some great improv going on, and it was just fun.
So, go ahead and tell me what's going on in the entertainment world.
Oh, well, have you heard of this small movie called John Carter?
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. It seems like it's a big flop.
It is a huge flop. It reportedly cost $250 million to produce and an additional $100 million to market. And its opening weekend was just $30.2
million. Wow.
That's pretty bad. I mean, for
yeah.
it to... You know, since studios split box office gross with their theater owners, John Carter reportedly needs to earn at least $600 million worldwide just to break
even. Wow.
That's not going to happen.
You know, the problem with some of these films, it seems like they just, every film is, they're trying to make it into a blockbuster these days. You know, why can't you just make a regular old film?
You know, people don't, sometimes a lot of people seem to not appreciate the small films, or at least that's what is being generated in the media.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And I guess they were hoping, you know, something that takes place on Mars is going to have, you know, a huge turnout. But it's funny because a year to the day almost, there was another Disney flop, which was Mars Needs Mom. And that was
I don't even remember
question.
That one. I don't even remember that one.
But that was another one that cost a lot of money and was a huge flop. So maybe they just need to stay away from Mars.
Yeah, stay away from Mars. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, let's see. I see James Lewis apparently has joined us. Let's make sure I get him patched in here. Let's see what's going on. Oh, there we go. James?
William.
Hey, what's going on, brother? What's happening?
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. So what you been working on lately?
What have I been working on? I just wrapped a movie called Mysterious Prison.
Uh-huh.
Had a chance to play a homeless person. Worked with a fantastic director, David Ashton. He actually wrote and produced the film. We had been, I guess, talking probably sometime during last summer about doing it, and got into production probably right before the fall, and we've been working on it most of the winter. So pretty eye-opening. And just did a series of voiceover commercials up in New York for Commuter Connections, which should be airing down here sometime soon, if not already. We'll be going back up to New York next week, actually, to do some more of those. And finished doing a few audiobooks here and there. So, you know, me trying to stay busy.
You make it sound so easy. It's so casual.
A little more than just busy.
So how did you get into voiceover?
How did I get into voiceover? I was reading an article in Black Enterprise magazine back in 97, I want to say 98. Rodney Salisbury was in it. Actually, Rod and I are now good friends. And he was talking about the voiceover industry and, you know, said you could make some pretty good money. But the thing that got me, the thing that hooked me was, he said, I only work 8 hours a week. I said, that's the job I want to do.
Check that out.
And, you know, kind of from there, I just started, you know, researching it and trying to figure out what I needed to do. Made a, you know, a few stumbles along the way, but ultimately I have been able to get out there and do some work.
So I know that you also you're starting to teach voiceover. What's your approach to teaching voiceover?
Well, in the DC metro area, there have been a few, and I don't want to call them fly-by-night, but some less-than-reputable companies who I felt were taking advantage of the ignorance of the public in regards to voiceovers. You know, I actually started a company a few years ago called TalkTime, and TalkTime worked with a lot of different actors in the area, yourself included, you know, who wanted to get into voiceovers. And I wanted to do something, you know, so that people, my peers, my fellow colleagues weren't being taken advantage of.
Right.
Anybody out there, if you were, you know, you're looking to have a voiceover demo produced, you know, it should not cost you, you know, four figures. You know, if you're paying, you know, $1,000 to get a demo done, you are paying too much.
That's right.
Wow.
From that, you know, just in talking to a lot of people, you know, they were like, well, you know, well, I've got the demo, what do I do? And, you know, I said, when are you going to teach some seminars or some classes? And literally people have been asking me for, you know, 5-6 years to do this. And I have just finally said, okay, I will do it.
So is it better to pursue voiceover or let it pursue you? By that I mean, see, my philosophy, I'll tell you my philosophy is just do good work as an actor. And I have had the opportunity to do some voiceover. I've done some industrial voiceovers. And the work sort of found me.
Yes.
And that would be my answer. What's your take on that?
That will happen. That definitely will happen. And, I mean, that's the case in anything that you do. You know, if you come in, if you're a professional, if you're prepared, and if you do a good job, you know, people will call you back again. You know, be it a production company, a casting director, you know, or anyone. They will recognize your talent and your professionalism. And, you know, that's the type of people that folks in the industry want to work with. But I also feel that, you know, in this industry, just because the majority of us are freelance, you do have to take a very aggressive and active approach to trying to secure work. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, during seminars and even in person, you know, it's called show business.
Right.
Business is the bigger word. So,
that's right.
You know, you're out. You know, when you're out doing a job and, you know, you're going to a casting, you know, you're branding yourself. So from a business standpoint, you know, this is, you know, how are you going to market yourself? How are you going to market your product? Your product is you. You know, and the better your brand, you know, the Coca-Cola of acting, the Pepsi of acting, you know, as opposed to the no-name knockoff cola, you know, that no one knows, the more successful you're going to be.
That's right. That's right.
Especially in this area where it can be hard to get work around here.
It is. It is. You know, I have found that the more diversified you are skill-wise, the more opportunities that are available for you. You know, so, you know, if you are just a model, you just do print work, you're going to have less opportunities to work than if you're a model who acts. And then you're a model who acts who does voiceovers, and you're a model who acts and does voiceovers and is proficient with a teleprompter, and, you know, then you add to that, you know, maybe you have your own studio so you can work from home. You add to that, you know, you can travel outside of the area to Richmond or Virginia Beach or Philadelphia, Jersey, New York. You're going to find more work there. You know, the more avenues that you have, the more skill sets that you have, you know, the more opportunities you can do, be it stage, be it, you know, on camera, non-broadcast, or on camera, you know, for broadcast, local, regional, national, whatever. You know, the more skills you have, the more marketable you're going to be.
So what other advice do you have for people who are, you know, would like to get into doing more voiceovers besides, you know, getting some professional demos and taking some workshops? What other advice would you give to someone new to this area?
Understanding the business, understanding what's expected of you. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go and sit in the classroom. There are plenty of books. You know, you can go to the bookstore and find some great books on the industry, do's and don'ts, and things of that nature. Other than that, have a professional package. I am shocked and amazed at the lack of professionalism of most of the voiceover artists. I've seen people with demos with, you know, a label stuck on them, and I'm not talking about, you know, something that might cover the CD, but just like a label off on the envelope, handwritten with magic marker on it. You know, that's like going for a job interview and your resume is written in crayon. Doesn't matter what your experience is or your skills. All they see is you wrote it in crayon. You know, what does that say about you?
So right, you couldn't even put the effort into that.
You have got to be professional in everything that you do. You know, just like you don't walk into an audition with, you know, a headshot, you know, that you took hanging out on the corner, you know, with a pocket camera. You know, you don't present a less than professional package, you know, being a voiceover artist. So, you know, and there are, you know, some software programs you can go and get very inexpensive, you know, from Staples or Office Depot. You know, put your correct contact information on it. You know, and you should have several different variations of the demo. You should have a demo that represents you, the individual who is the actor, but you should also have a demo. Everybody who's in the voiceover industry should have a company name, because a lot of times you are servicing other companies. So instead of, you know, casting director, you're dealing directly with, you know, an entity. And then you're really doing business to business. So it's B2B,
right.
You know, so that means, you know, there might be a contract that you might need to do, or, you know, terms that need to be agreed on that you two will negotiate. You know, you're being hired as a contractor, and the skill that you're providing is your voice. So you need to be able to do that accordingly. So in that capacity, it's not, you know, I'm showing you my resume as a performer. No, I'm showing you my client list as a voiceover artist. These are the companies that I have worked for and provided services for. So know the
difference. James, talk a little bit more about exactly what would go into a demo. I mean, like the format of it, what's the content, that kind of thing?
Sure. Demos are broken up into different categories based on the work you're trying to do. So similar to the acting profession, you don't just have one headshot. You should have at least two. So that's a commercial and theatrical based on what type of job you're going for. Well, it's the same thing with voiceover demo. You should have a commercial demo, you know, to present to people whom you're going to be doing commercials for. You should have a narration demo that will highlight your narrating skills. There's some people who are bilingual. If you are, you should have a foreign language demo. For those folks who, you know, maybe sing or, you know, have a nice voice, you might want to do a demo that might have some jingles on it. You know, and, of course, if you do accents, dialects, funny voices, anything of that nature, you would probably also want to have a character demo. Now, all of these can go onto one CD, but they would be separate tracks. So you'd have your commercial track, your narration track, your character track, and so forth. And, of course, that makes it easy for whomever you may be mailing or providing the CD to, where they can, you know, go to it just like you would a song on a CD. Well, if I'm hiring you to do narrations, I don't want to hear your commercials. I want to go right to track two and hear your narrations. Now, that being said, each track has its own subcategories on it also. So when you do a commercial track that goes on your commercial voiceover demo, you should have different types of commercials on it. All commercials aren't the same. Some commercials are high energy. Some commercials require acting ability. Other commercials require, you know, maybe a more newsy or informational read or approach. Another commercial might want to invoke emotion, i.e. a PSA or something of that nature. So your commercial track for your commercial demo should be as varied as possible to show your range, because you never know what you are being, what they're reviewing your track for, what you're auditioning for. So, you know, a lot of people get caught up working with people who aren't professional in creating their demo. You know, if they have a bright, happy voice, then every commercial on their demo is upbeat and bright and happy. Well, once I've heard bright and happy, I don't need to hear it again.
Right.
Let me hear how you do, you know, some bad news. Let me hear how you would do, you know, something sports related. Let me hear how you would, you know, handle, you know, dealing with starving children in Africa. Let me hear your voice that you would provide. And everybody has these different voices, but they don't realize it, and we use them all the time. If we didn't, you know, we would all kind of walk around talking monotone like robots. So,
Bueller?
You know,
Bueller?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we, you know, men, we have one voice when we're out with the fellas. You know, ladies, you have one voice when you're out with the other ladies. You have a voice that you use with your children. You have a voice that you use with your significant other. You have a voice that you use when you're at work, you know, in the boardroom. And you need to be able to show your range on your demo.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think the big key to a lot of voiceover is to be conversational, especially some of your commercials. I know when I came up to your studio, you had me do, I'll never forget, you had me read a commercial for Amstel Light, and you were like,
"That's right."
Say, William, you have to really emphasize the product name, Amstel Light. You know, I sit back for cold Amstel Light, and you got to make it sound conversational, even though you're just there by yourself.
Speech.
Right.
Natural speech. Now, you know, those of us who are a little older, you know, we remember listening to, you know, the TV when our parents and grandparents were coming up, and sometimes they didn't have commercials. They had announcers.
Right.
You know, who would, you know, talk to you about Tide soap powder. The soap powder that will get stains out of your clothes every day. You don't hear that anymore.
No, you don't.
They don't want the announcers. They don't want the announcers. They want natural speech. They want natural conversation. You know, that's what Madison Avenue has found out, you know, that people relate to. You know,
right.
It's relatable. Yeah, I like that. Oh, man, you know, that. You know, I like that guy's voice. You know, I'm going to go out and buy this product. Even though you don't consciously do that, you subconsciously do.
Hmm.
And people relate to the images or what they hear, and, you know, that's what makes them go out and buy the product.
Hmm. Talk about a movie in your mind. I know you were really heavy into narration for novels. How's that going?
Oh, that's my love. That's my love. I do a lot of audiobooks, and back when I was actually working and doing a 9-to-5, I used to live in Charlottesville, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and I used to drive to D.C. every day.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't envy you.
What?
240-mile round trip.
Woo!
And, you know, you lose radio stations when you drive that far. And honestly, you get tired of listening to them. Literally, I could listen to the radio station, and I knew at what time they were going to play a particular song. And
that's bad.
It's 4 or 5, they're going to play such and such. And
you were the program director.
Yeah, exactly. So I started listening to audiobooks, and, you know, I found out that, one, I totally lost track of time when I would be listening to the books. And two, it relaxed me on my drive. And I was like, boy, I would love to be able to do these. And I used to listen to, I don't know if you guys remember the movie Remo Williams.
Back in the 80s.
There's
yeah.
a whole series of books on Remo and Chung, and it's called The Destroyer.
I remember growing up, I saw them in the thrift store all the time.
Yes,
I met the guy that invented the character. He also wrote Die Hard, not Die Hard, he wrote Lethal Weapon. I can't remember his name, though.
Yes, I can't remember his name either, but I used to listen to those stories. And
yeah.
I loved listening to the stories, you know, Remo and Chung. And I remember, as I would drive, I'm like, man, the guy who does these audiobooks, he's got the best job in the world, and I wish I could do that. And, you know, fast forward to where we are now, I actually work with him. He's my executive producer.
Is that right?
At Graphic Audio, yeah. I even brought
How
him
cool
in
is
some,
that?
Of the, some of the old cassettes that he did back in the day, and he was like, man, I haven't seen those in years.
Wow.
Used to be a company called DH Audio that was in D.C. They gone out of business. But they used to do the audiobooks. And so Graphic kind of took over that and has the rights to Remo. And they actually went back and redid all of them. So the stories that I used to listen to when I was working, I've actually recorded some of those with the audio publisher.
Wow, how neat is that?
That's what I call coming full circle.
That's full circle right there. That is full circle.
Yeah. But they put
that's
out a
amazing.
Lot of different books, you know, everything from sword and sorcery, westerns, action adventure, you know, things of that nature.
I think you were doing a western the day I was there in your studio. You were doing a western that day.
Yep, doing some westerns, signed a contract with DC Comics, so now we're doing a lot of DC Comics stories, graphic novels, which, you know, I'm a big comic book fan, so, you know, I'm able to bring to life a lot of characters that I grew up, you know, watching on TV and reading in comic books.
Are you allowed to give us a little sample of Batman?
Well, I don't do Batman. I do Nightwing, and I do Nightwing, which is Batman's partner.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that Nightwing's voice is actually my regular voice. I don't do anything different.
What are you?
He's giving us a sample the whole time.
he's just me. So you know, he's a little more lighthearted than Batman. But I do this one Western character who has a big following, Smoke Jensen, which is a character that was written by William Johnstone. And he's got a lot of Western fans. And I've been doing Smoke now for about 4 years. I think we're approaching my 40th CD in doing Smoke.
Wow.
My 40th
book. Is that right?
Yeah. And
hold on. Look, I have a call
some
coming
of the other
in.
Books is, you know, guest star, and they're talking about doing a spinoff.
I have a call
now.
Coming in. Excuse me, James. Hey, who's on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. This is William Powell, Inside Acting.
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You have a question?
Hi, James.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
No, I don't have a question. I'd like to listen in.
No. Okay. All right. So, James, so now you were talking about Smoke Jensen.
Yes, Smoke Jensen. He's a mountain man. That's real cool guy.
So you talked a little bit about getting into voiceover work. How did you specifically get into audiobooks? Because I'm very curious about that.
Honestly, I kind of fell backwards into it. I had wanted to do some audiobooks. Was actually up for a job at the Library of Congress, but the schedule that they wanted their voiceover artists to work just totally conflicted with what I wanted to do, because it was a mandatory time requirement that you had to get. So I walked away from that. And, you know, they always say when, you know, one door closes, another one opens. And maybe about 3 weeks later, I saw casting where Graphic was looking for new talent. And I had sent them my demo, and they called me up. And they brought me in on a Saturday morning for the audition. And it had to be one of the most grueling auditions I have ever participated in.
Wow.
It lasted.
James, we're down to about 60 seconds.
Oh, okay.
So is
I'll
there
wrap it
any
up.
Anything that you want to put out there? I know you're starting to do workshops and seminars.
To do workshops and seminars if you're interested in attending, or if you're interested in getting a demo produced, feel free to give me a buzz. You can reach me at 202-997-3329, or you can hit me up on Facebook at Actor James Lewis, LEWIS, Facebook.com, and I'll be more than happy to reply to you and see what I can do to help you out.
Okay, man, that sounds fantastic. We'll have to have you on again to finish that story.
Just give me a buzz anytime. Love to be a guest.
We'll do it. We'll do it again sometimes.
Thank
okay, James, man. Well, thanks for coming on, man. Have a great night.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Okay, so we've got about 5 seconds left, so I'm going to say do something for your career every day and break a leg.